Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome, Housewives of True Crime. You only hear Tab because Gretchy is under the weather and we had to switch things up today a little bit. I had originally dropped an episode this morning before I listened to it and it was really awful. We tried to record on location and Gretchen was in the car in Colorado and it sounded like she was in another universe. So I thought it was too hard to listen to. So what I decided to do is put a Patreon episode from back in May of 2020. It's called Tiger Kings. It's about Siegfried and Roy. If you are a Patreon member already, thank you for listening to this one twice. If you are not a Patreon member and you like bonus crimes, we do an extra bonus crime every month. Plus every week we just do a fun episode and that's patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. Hopefully Gretchy gets better super quickly and we'll be back to our regular scheduled program next week. And for Patreon this week, she'll be there. Had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. My husband overprogrammed us, so we did a million things. We had some friends and family in town, so we did Disney on Ice, and we went to this Enchant in Dallas. I think they have it in a couple different places in the United States, but this year they moved it from Arlington to Dallas, and it was awesome. Way better at the Dallas Fair Complex. It was well worth it. My kids have decided that they are fanatics of ice skating. And so now we have to start ice skating lessons, which is just one more thing on my plate that I really don't have time for. And We had a bunch of people in town, a bunch of friends, and now we're kind of just trying to lay low. Although, you guys, how hard was it to wake up this morning and take your kids to school? Because it was really hard for me. I did not want to make the lunches, and the traffic was bananas, way worse than normal, but we all made it. I just was 1 minute late. That's it. That's all. I don't even think that deserves a tardy. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's called Tiger Kings, and how could you not enjoy that? Also, I saw Tiger King Part 2 or something is coming out, or it is out. Cannot wait to check that out also. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Clink, clink.
This week's bonus is an investigation into Tiger Kings before Tiger King.
Oh, Tiger Kings. Okay. Multiple.
Siegfried and Roy. None other.
Oh, my God. Okay, my grandma loved them. Went to Vegas to see them.
People were devoted. Uh-huh.
They were.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I kind of wish I would have seen the show.
I do, too. And he just died of COVID, right?
Yeah, that's what brought it to my attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roy died. Complications of COVID. He was 75 years old.
Is that old? My mother-in-law is 75, and I feel like she's just like a 20-year-old.
Well, it's old considering he's had a massive stroke and, brain injury and everything, I think.
He really got the short end of the stick, man.
He really did. It was a good run, though.
Okay. I can't wait to hear more.
About it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when he passed away, I went down a rabbit hole. I watched some. You can go on YouTube and watch clips of their old show and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it made me wonder, what is so different about Siegfried and Roy? They're like beloved versus Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'll tell you what. Carol Baskin doesn't think anything.
Oh, she thinks
Carol Baskin.
They're the same.
Oh, she thinks they're the same. Yeah. And I also got to thinking, what really happened?
Mm-hmm.
In the words of Chris Rock, when that tiger went tiger.
Right.
And that is like, yeah. Yeah. Because I don't know. It falls out of my memory, my brain. Okay. And I also got to thinking, Gretchen, what happened to all those tigers that were in the show?
Well, wasn't it just two?
Oh, no. Many, many tigers. Oh. So I'm going to answer those. I'm going to answer all those questions for you.
I can't wait.
Okay. Siegfried and Roy met on a cruise ship when they were both young men. The story goes, Siegfried was a magician and Roy fancied himself an animal trainer on account of he smuggled a cheetah into his cabin.
On the cruise?
Okay. Yeah.
Holy bananas.
Yeah. And the two put it together. Boom. They had a magic deck. Oh. Like no other.
My God.
Okay. Yeah. One thing I'm not going to get, they obviously they're real old, so they have a long history. So I'm not going to get like too into it, but that's basically where it started. One thing I did find worth noting when I was looking into them is that they both had really hard childhoods post-war Germany, okay? Mm-hmm. And they didn't get a lot of love from their parents. And they developed this connection with big cats. I mean, that's like very similar to Joe Exotic and some of those people that I found working at the zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're in a certain kind of situation and big cats come into your life,
it gives you some sort of peace, probably.
Yeah.
And
it fills a void.
Yeah, it does seem to fill a void. But animals in general do that. So you could also maybe deal with horses instead of...
I was thinking horses.
Yeah, instead of...
Better. Yeah.
Lions and tigers.
A little equine therapy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so basically they take this show on the road with the cheetah. Over the years, they acquired more big cats, eventually buying a pair of white tigers, which they bred. Side note, they bought them from the Cincinnati Zoo, It's like zoo. It's a business, dude. Okay. And they're just like these two dudes with like a magic deck. Like, can you imagine calling up San Diego Zoo? Like, hey, I'll take a couple of, you know, manatees, pandas, whatever you got.
No, I can't. Think about
I would
doing
hope
that.
Time have changed. And the two white tigers that they bought were father and daughter, and they bred them.
Oh, God, please.
Yeah. Okay, so shady. So apparently there is just tons of inbreeding with the white tigers, and I'll get more into that later. But so in 1989, they got their real big break, which was headlining at the Mirage in Vegas. I thought it was interesting to learn that, like other shows at the time in Vegas, it wasn't PG. When their show started out, it was full of topless ladies.
Really?
And yeah, interesting, right?
Well, it is also interesting because they're into dudes.
Yeah. Although they have like a, like they never even really say that they are together.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes they call themselves brothers. And when they've been at, they've gotten a lot of criticism from like the gay community. Like, why don't you just say it?
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think it's because they're old. And so they.
Because they're old and they come from the school of thought that it's like it could ruin their career.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, remember Barry Manilow didn't come out until he was like 75, and it's like, oh, shocker.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows.
Yeah, everybody knows. Okay. So they weren't interested in boobies for, you know, obvious reasons, right? And so what kind of put them over the top for being so successful was because they were the first real family-friendly Vegas show. You know?
Yeah.
You could take your kids. Yeah. During their Vegas reign, they became the highest paid act going. The show was incredibly elaborate. It employed more than 250 people. They wore capes and looked kind of like knights. They wore like lifts in their shoes. So they were like 4 inches taller, like lifts and high heels.
Wow.
So they're like, oh yeah. It was, the show is incredibly elaborate. They had fire, wild animals. They looked like knights. It was like this mythical, you know, production. But, you know, I mean, it looks real cheesy, but people loved it. It was intoxicating. The show raked in $45 million a year and ran until 2003, until the incident, which, you know, we'll get into it when the tiger went tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. They were Vegas fixtures. They had a sprawling 7-acre property called the Jungle Palace, where tigers roamed free. Well, at least when they were having photo shoots. They also had a much larger ranch close by, and the animals in the show were transported back and forth from there every night. Like, so much work, right? The thing about this is Carol Baskin, I have to give her credit because she got me thinking about this. She raises the point that these tigers are not like potty trained, okay? And they shred everything up. So come on, they aren't really sleeping in bed with Siegfried and Roy and roaming around this house. I mean, their like house is decorated so ornately. It's like Liberace-esque, I would say. I mean, I have got to just imagine that they probably weren't down with tiger pee on their $100,000 rugs.
No.
Right? So I agree with Carol Baskin. Like, they put on a show when there's photographers there, but there's no effing way.
Right.
I mean, we talk a lot about animal pee, Tab and I do.
This morning, I found lots of dog pee. I'm not having...
Can you imagine if it was a tiger?
No, just no, no, no.
No, 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 no. 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 Okay. Okay, so Carol says that the cats were kept in some kind of warehouse, but I didn't find any evidence of that at all, including people that have since come out against them post working for them. I never found that any of them said that the cats were kept in shitty conditions. So I don't agree with that allegation, Carol.
Carol.
I don't know where she got that. They said other stuff was shitty. Like the cats were all in choke collars and had wires on them that prevent them from moving out of their poses on stage, which when you look at the production, you could see how they would have done that because it's kind of like a tiered stage and all of the tigers are like in very specific places and they just stay there. And it's like, oh, of course, they're like, they're going to get shocked if they move, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, also, they're on stage and the audience is right there. So.
Oh, yeah.
They could potentially just, like, go batshit on a.
Gone tiger. Yeah. Yeah, they had to. I mean, I'm sure Steve Wynn was not like, oh, yeah, I just want you to have tigers in the, you know.
Right.
Or somebody pulls out a hamburger or something and the tiger just goes a little crazy. Like, there have to be some safety protocol, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just not very nice for the tigers. Okay, so the incident. It happened in October 2003, one day after Roy turned 59. According to him, he had a stroke on stage and his tiger, Montecore, sensed it. And in an effort to save his life, he grabbed him by the neck like he would a cub and took him off stage.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, that's what they say happened?
I did know that they tried to come up with a story that was like, no, this tiger loved him so much that something happened medically and he, you know, was trying to save him.
Oh, well, that was news to me.
I don't buy it for a million years.
No. Witnesses also disagree. And the doctors that treated Roy believe he had a stroke, but it was triggered by the tiger bite. There is a video of the attack, which could all put this to rest, right? But the Mirage has never released it.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing the account of what happened, according to a trainer that worked for them, is corroborated by audience members. And I can only imagine how traumatic it would have been to have been there that night. According to this guy, the trainer, Chris Lawrence, Roy fucked up. First off, the tiger was in a mood from the get, and he shouldn't have used him that night. But Roy had friends there. They were in town on account of his birthday, right? Mm-hmm. And he felt like this tiger, Montecore, was more impressive because he's a lot bigger than some of the other tigers that they have.
Okay.
Next, he had a misstep that caused Montecore to also miss his mark. So Roy tried to nudge him with his arm and the tiger nipped at him. People saw this.
Oh, yeah. I watched this before.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says that the series of mishaps led to the tiger's confusion and rebellion that caused him to eventually just maul Roy. Audience members say the nip and Roy struggling with the tiger and trying to distract him with the microphone, which Roy admits that he did. Like, try to redirect. The tiger was acting up and he tried to redirect his attention. So it doesn't really make sense that he was trying to do that. And then he also says that the tiger sensed him having a medical issue.
Yeah, no, I remember back when this happened, I was really interested in it and I watched all the footage.
Yeah.
And it is like he did. I mean, you watched it, right? I mean, I think he was struggling with the tiger and the tiger was like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was not in the mood.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I personally am leaning towards the trainer story, not Roy's, okay? From what I can tell, this guy Chris Lawrence's story is not telling it for a money grab. He says that he came forward with his account of what happened because he only came forward with this a couple years ago. that night because he was disappointed in the USDA investigation that followed. He says that the Mirage lawyers kept him from speaking to them. So they never, the USDA, he thinks, never really heard the truth, right? I mean, you got to imagine, big casino, big lawyers.
Big money.
Okay. Yeah. He says he has suffered from PTSD ever since and has become a suicidal alcoholic.
Who? The trainer.
Yes. Which seems like extra at first when you hear that. I mean, that's why I was like, I had to look into it a little more and be like, is this guy just looking for money? You know?
Yeah. Or,
until I consider the fact that it doesn't appear he's looking for money. And this is someone who went to school to work with animals and thought Siegfried and Roy were, you know, the coolest animal guys ever. And all of a sudden, you're faced with the reality that maybe all of it, everything that you have built your life around in regards to the animals in captivity is wrong. And then you want to do something about it. You want to, like, you have this epiphany and you want to get it off your chest and maybe protect people in the future. And you're told by big casino lawyers to shut up and go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Like, he lost his identity, you know? I mean, and he's probably like a fragile person, like all the Joe Exotic workers, you know, that all came to this for, you know,
right,
a variety of reasons. Okay, so yeah, there was an investigation by the USDA, but it didn't really result in anything that affected the show because the show was over. Roy had a long road to recovery, and he was never the same. 10 years after the incident, Siegfried and Roy did a 10-minute version of their show to raise money for brain research as a way for them to say, you know, it was also a way for them to say goodbye on the stage. You can watch a video of this. It is painful to watch.
And do they have tigers?
Yeah, they have tigers. Roy can barely move. I mean, he requires assistance. You know, somebody's got to be like holding his arm typically when he's walking around.
Yeah.
And he used to swing across the stage by one arm holding a rope.
Like Tarzan?
Yeah. So imagine it's like watching somebody like that come back, except for their, I don't know. I mean, I just felt it was.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done. Like, get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of 5-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Really sad.
Yeah.
So one thing about that night where they did this performance that people were really like, there was not a dry eye in the house. People were like intoxicated by it. They loved it, even though it was only 10 minutes. And I'm like, really, you paid all this money to go and it was only 10 minutes and you're like gushing over it?
Yeah.
But anyways, they claimed that they used the tiger Montecore that night because he's such a lifesaver and beloved by them. And they wanted to, you know, show that they have complete faith in their animals. Well, this Chris Lawrence, the trainer, and others disagree. It was not the same tiger. Nice try.
Yeah, right. They're like, oh, here's Montecore.
Yeah.
Just like every whale at SeaWorld is Shamu.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So what does our friend Carol Baskin think? She thinks it's all bullshit. She posted an article on Big Cat Rescue after 2020 did a story about Siegfried and Roy through the years. She says she was hoping that the 2020 episode would expose their lies, but ended up being a shallow tribute to them. So it's no secret, you know, she hates them. Mm-hmm. And she hates the ideologic image of tigers that they perpetuate. She has some good points, like the inbreeding of white tigers, which was actually mentioned in the special. They all come from one cat, like not that long ago.
All of them.
There was one cat from India with a genetic mutation. I mean, it's just like, it's not a different species of tiger. Like they kind of spew, like they are endangered in the wild. It's like how there is one in 100,000 people are like albino. It's just a mutation in the genes.
Right.
But we're all, you know, it's not a different species of person. Okay. So what I found was that all these white tigers in sanctuaries have deformities and health problems. And so it's, since we all know about how like big cat trade, you know, works because we all watched Tiger King, that these tigers were just, a lot of them probably didn't make the cut. And the ones that are in the sanctuaries were just lucky enough to be rehomed, right? Because they just keep on breeding them.
And the other ones are euthanized?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad.
She also makes some allegations, you know, back to her warehouse allegations, because they have so many tigers that she says they wouldn't be able to use them after the age of like 5.
Why?
Because they're just not, they become like really stubborn and they're not trainable. But like I said before, I didn't find anything that agreed with that statement of hers. I think they really did have this ranch. But I mean, maybe there's some shady business going on because they did do cub petting in the audience. Only a couple of audience members got to hold them. But I mean, that was like something that they did. So they had tiger cubs like
regularly because they grow fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no way that tigers are roaming free in your yard.
Oh, there is no way. That is total bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did point out that in the 2020 episode, they acknowledged that they bred white tigers until 2015. So I, you know, looked for that when I watched the episode. But their show ended in 2003. So she does have a point there. Like, why did they continue to breed these tigers?
For money.
Like, there's, yeah, that's shady.
Yeah, it has to all be for money.
Yeah. So they actually got away with breeding white tigers for 4 years longer than most because they were not part of the American Zoological Association, which banned all of its members from breeding white tigers and white lions in 2011 on account of all the inbreeding and stuff that comes from them.
Yeah.
Okay. So they just scooted around that little law. Okay. So, you know, Carol likes to throw shade. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she did.
You got to throw it to not get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deflection.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she kills me. Okay. She threw some shade, saying that the woman that 2020 interviewed to explain why the end of Siegfried and Roy is all right with her and other big cat activists was someone she's never even heard of. And she did all right for the 2 minutes she spoke.
Oh, she wanted to be on 2020.
Yeah, totally. This made me wonder, okay, Carol, who is this woman that you have never heard of? Well, Carol, she's kind of a big deal. She runs the Turpentine Animal Sanctuary in Arkansas, and they've been around since 1978. The Turpentine Sanctuary looks much cooler than Carol's, I'll tell you that. And their website is much more impressive than Big Cat Rescue's, additionally, okay? And you can visit it for $25, and you can even sleep there in a tent cabin for $125.
Wow.
If you would like to sleep and wake up to the smell of tiger pee.
No thanks.
No thanks. Okay. But they are just like Carol. They don't do any animal handling and they don't breed them. They just rescue them. So I'm like, Carol, get over yourself. You are on the same team. Okay. Maybe, Carol, here's a little advice. If you didn't dress so extra with all the animal prints and the flowers in your hair and shit, 2020 would have called you.
Yeah.
That, just saying.
You know, that doesn't look good on television. They don't like that.
No.
And you look like this a crazy woman, person.
Yeah, you look like a loon. You look like a friggin' loon. This woman wore like one of those, you know, like khaki zookeeper outfits. That's what they want. Professional.
Yes. Like the crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
Like his daughter.
Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But his daughter also took up like after him and she dresses in the khakis and Bindi.
Bindi. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to why would the Mirage still keep tigers around? Okay. They have a secret garden encounter that you can walk through still. That is home to what appears to be many of the white tigers from the show. I mean, maybe that's why they kept breeding them.
I went there.
Making money off that. Yeah, I feel like I've been there too.
I think maybe we were together.
Most of my Vegas experiences are kind of a blur.
Which is really surprising since you remember everything.
Well, you know.
But I think we...
But I do feel like we've been there.
Yeah, I think we have. There's like a big glass thing. I remember it.
Yeah. Well, the big draw to it now is not really the tigers even anymore. It's the dolphin habitat. They added to it. You, for $400, you can swim with the dolphins there.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. I think that's pretty bananas and it should probably go away.
I can't even believe they still do that.
I know. I mean, it's probably on the outs, right?
Well, I don't know. I was in Arizona this weekend, and let me tell you something. People can ride in the back of a pickup truck. Like, no problem. No, like,
yeah.
It's like a thing.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody does it. Yeah. And to me, it's so foreign. I'm like, whoa, I feel like I'm in a different country here.
I know, but I mean, yeah.
There's just...
But everybody's getting wise to animal, you know... Injustice.
Well, you would have thought that they would have got wise to seatbelts, you know, I don't know, 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So keeping an animal in a swimming pool or wearing your seatbelt both seem very logical, like things like don't keep animals in swimming pools and always wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, it just seems like dolphins are such intelligent animals and this is just crazy. They're not there for our amusement.
They are in the wild when you're on a boat and you see them and they're like doing tricks for you and you're like, holy shit, that's amazing.
I've dove with them. I've been in large pods. It's pretty, you can go see them and enjoy them in the wild. That's where you should do it.
Yeah, because they will do those things for you in the wild.
In the wild. Yeah. Yeah. They will, in captivity, they can get real frisky.
Because they're depressed.
You know, crazy. Yeah, because they're depressed and they're like sexually frustrated and stuff. And, you know, there's like incidents where they've like pinned people down underwater. Yeah. You know, they go dolphin. Okay. So I don't recommend the swimming with the dolphins. Even Siegfried, they asked him about, you know, do you think you could have started your show in today's climate? And he said, no way.
No way.
Like they could never, it would never, you know, they were lucky they got their moment. Because the world is changing, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think there's any naked lady shows in Vegas anymore. Maybe like one, right?
Gosh, there's got to be. Come on.
Is there one?
What do you mean? Like on the strip?
I mean, when we started going, yeah. I mean, when we started going to Vegas, I know it was like, I think Bally's still had like the topless show.
Oh, like can type of like.
Yeah. But I don't think there's any of those left.
I know there's Thunder Down Under. That's naked guys.
That's a big thing.
I mean, it's a big.
Well, there's lots of sexy strip shows with girls. I went to one time that was like J-Lo's ex-husband, Chris Judd.
Oh, yeah.
Was the choreographer. And they like came out on a bed in lingerie and danced around. It was really fucking lame. I was not impressed.
Not impressed. I went to the Thunder Down Under. And.
Oh. Had a good time.
It's really funny. I think those shows are
funny. Yeah, I think it would be funny. I watched it on like a clip of Vinny doing it on Jersey Shore.
Oh my God. It's hilarious when you're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh my God. I don't know. I assume when guys go to strip clubs, they get like off on it. I don't think that women typically get off on going to a Thunder Down Under, but I could totally be wrong.
No.
I think there's maybe two different.
I think it's a very small percentage. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there's definitely naked lady strip clubs in Vegas.
Oh my God, many, and I've been to them.
Okay. You're outing yourself.
The cheetah.
The cheetah. Yeah. There's the one that has the guys on the upper floor and the girls on the bottom floor.
I feel like we've been to one together.
I think that one maybe, where it was like, you get a little of both if you want it.
Yeah, whatever. You know, all I dream of now that we're in like quarantine is like going to like Vegas and just sitting in front of a slot machine. I don't care about any of the shows. Just having somebody bring me cocktails.
With their mask and gloves on.
Yeah, so I'm not going for a while.
I think that Vegas is going to open and people aren't going to give two shits about wearing gloves or a mask or
I don't think so either.
Anything. Because what I saw this weekend in Arizona, nobody cares. They don't care. It's just it's free for all.
Yeah.
Mass gatherings.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And Nevada is Arizona adjacent. Did you know?
I did know. And I'm pretty good at that, at least the western part of the United States geography.
Oh, good on you.
And so, yes, I did know. And I think that it's the same. I mean, there'll probably be some people with masks and they'll be like me. I was the only one going into the store in Arizona with a mask on. But I also feel like I'm the only one coming out of Arizona without COVID. So.
Yeah. And good job. Yeah. Okay, so in conclusion, Montecore the tiger died in 2014.
Wow, he lived a long time.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Montecore.
They didn't want to euthanize Montecore because they were like, no, he just did that.
No, that would have gone against their story.
Yeah.
And I mean, like we said, Roy just died May 8th. He was cremated and Siegfried kept his ashes. He was 75. Rest in peace, Roy.
Yeah, rest in peace. And how old is Siegfried?
I'm guessing I don't know exactly, but I'm guessing he's right around the same age. He's looking good. I mean, they were in really good shape.
Oh my gosh, remember?
They performed that show. They cut back. I mean, he had just turned 59 and they cut back to only doing 8 shows a week.
That's a lot.
Dude, that is a lot. And they are jumping and swinging. I mean, it's extremely active.
They were totally Vegas people too, because they had like the greatest tans.
Oh yeah, still does.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I need to start putting on the Jergens self-tanner lotion.
Why, for summer?
For summer. I'm going to start going out in public.
Did you go out in public this weekend?
I attempted.
But you didn't?
No, I didn't. Oh,
okay. I knew you wouldn't.
Nope, turned right around. Too crowded.
It was crowded? The beach was crazy, right?
It was crazy.
So is that it? Is that all we get to know?
That's it. That's all you get. Sorry. Bonus crime.
Is it a crime?
Well, it's a crime in the fact that it's like there's kind of a cover-up with this whole Monocore tiger thing and inbreeding white tigers. I mean, it's a lot of crimes.
Yeah, it really is, right? One.
Yeah.
And you got to do your Carol Baskin.
And I got to do my Carol Baskin. So now I'm going to sign off, all you cats and kittens.
Holy heck. You know, I told you my, is it my cousin-in-law, Sean's cousin, is friends with Carol.
Yeah, I know.
And she defends her. She won't even watch The Tiger King because she's like, Carol is a really nice lady.
I get that. Yeah, listen, I get that. I think Carol does do some real good work. I just think she's a total fucking bitch.
And crazy. I mean, come on.
And crazy. And she killed her husband 100%. So there's that. But as far as her knowledge about tigers and, you know, like whatever, I mean, it's just, she could do so much more work if she acknowledged that this turpentine sanctuary, which is about 20 times the size of hers, existed without throwing them shade. I mean, it's just like, you can't help yourself. You're just such a bitch by nature, Carol.
I know, right? Because you're like, you knew who that lady was. Like, let's...
You know, I mean, you know, come on. That's like Pampers saying, you know, I never heard
Huggies.
Of... Huggies. Loves or Huggies. Yeah, like never heard of them. Like, fuck you.
She's just jealous. And I think she is jealous. Like, how do you know of Joe Exotic, but you don't know of Turpentine?
Oh, she's such an attention whore. That's why it's like, if you don't know about another sanctuary, it's because you're too busy on your Facebook.
Asking for money?
Hi to all you cats and kittens. Yeah. You know, talking about yourself. You're so narcissistic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was a good one. I like that. Thanks, Crutchy.
Okay, you're welcome. Till next time.
Till next time. Well, we're releasing a lot of content this week, even though it's a short week. And, you know, so thank you for doing that over the weekend and not going out. It's really been good for our show.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed Havasu.
I went out. But I didn't congregate with anybody.
I think it's fine. I think we all have to find ways to not congregate. I just think it's impossible in Orange County.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you.
Listening. Thank you so much. Yeah. Our favorite people.
Our favorite people.
Okay.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.